Hello, VetBlast podcast listeners. Did you know that you can earn 0.25 CE credits with this podcast? After listening to this podcast, head on over to dvm360.com/flex and then sign in or register for a free account. Then select the podcast and follow the online prompts to claim your CE.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. We're going to talk about topical therapy for dermatologic cases. My goodness, there's so much to chat about. We want to thank our friends for SIVA for sponsoring this wonderful CE podcast. And joining us is our wonderful friend and colleague, Dr. Amy Schnedeker. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I got a lot to learn about this stuff too, because I feel like it's always changing. So we got a lot to cover. To our wonderful listeners out there, Dr. Amy Schnedeker is a native of upstate New York and received her Bachelor's of Science degree at Cornell University. She graduated veterinary school from the University of Minnesota and completed a one-year rotating internship at VCA West Los Angeles Animal Hospital. Dr. Schnedeker completed a residency and master's degree at The Ohio State University and now practices as a boarded dermatologist in Latham, New York, with upstate veterinary specialties. So, okay, well, let's just get into the basics right now, because we just know there are so many systemic options to relieve the itch. But what else should we be doing on those allergic pets? And, you know, how do you address secondary infections?
Yeah, so, and always with these allergic patients, they're going to be complicated, right? I think we all agree that they can be really frustrating. And we really want to reach for multimodal therapy. So while systemic therapy for both infections and itch is going to be really important, we don't want to forget about the topical options, because they're really safe. And we're much less worried about developing any sort of resistance against those topical ingredients, as opposed to those repeated, right, systemic antibiotics. Unfortunately, we keep seeing, right, more and more infections. We keep seeing more and more, unfortunately, methicillin-resistant staph infections as well. And so sometimes, honestly, all we're left with is topical therapy as sole treatment, if not adjunctive treatment as well.
Yeah. And then, like you said, it's multimodal approach there. And how do we address those secondary infections that are out there?
Yeah. And so the best thing is going to be to think about, always remember your cytology. So, right, to confirm your skin infections, you want to do your cytology. Whatever type of bacteria you're seeing, right, you're going to reach for the most common topical ingredient is going to be chlorhexidine, which is the main ingredient in the Duxo S3 pile line. And that comes in both a shampoo and a mousse. Great way to treat localized infections. So if they just have infections on the paws, or let's say they just have infection on the belly, you might not even need to reach for systemic antibiotics. You can both treat and resolve skin infections with just maintenance bathing at home, bathing multiple times a week, using mousse on the areas once or twice a day is a great way to start, even if the infection is very localized, and a really safe way to do it as well.
And what I always find is, like you just talked about, there's mousses, there's shampoos, there's like a leave-on, you know, because when we're talking about spectrum of care, we're not just talking about the financial components. We're also talking about like the client's ability to do these kinds of things. You know, we're sending them home with, especially with derm, so many different recommendations to do this, that. And I like that you were mentioning, you know, the mousses. And, you know, I think that topical therapy is so important in dermatology. The big question that we get asked probably with our clients is, how long does it vary with contact time with the particular active ingredient that's there?
Yeah, contact time is really important. And so we know this now. I mean, right, same thing when we wash our hands, we want to let that soap sit. Same thing with these shampoos. And so typically what I will do is, with the medicated shampoos, have the owners bathe and leave it on for at least like 5 to 10 minutes. And so we found that 5 minutes is kind of enough. I feel like 10 to 15 minutes is just logistically not going to be, it's really hard to watch your pet to sit in the tub, especially if we're talking about a big German Shepherd, for 10 to 15 minutes. And so honestly, logistically, if it can sit for 5 minutes and then they rinse it off, I'm really happy with that. When we're talking about using the mousse, so long as that can sit for another like 10 to 15 minutes, And just discourage, right, the dog to kind of from licking it. And so usually I say, put it on, go for a walk, feed them, something like that, just to distract them.
Yeah. And let's pivot a little bit and chat further about the multimodal treatment, because, you know, why is that so important, and how does it compare to other treatment options that are out there?
Yeah. And so these derm cases, they are just complicated, right? And everyone knows that there, that sometimes derm just really sucks. And one thing is just, and I'm okay, I'm never going to be offended when someone says that, because it's hard, right? And yeah. So these patients, they're very complicated. So one thing is not going to work. And when they show up and they have a secondary skin infection, and they have a secondary ear infection, and they have itchiness, one thing is not going to fix all of that. So to really make your patients look and feel better, we need to reach for, right, antipruritic medication, whether that's going to be systemic or maybe topicals, right? We need to treat that skin infection as well. That might be systemic, but again, topical therapy is really important. And you're physically, if you think about your atopic patients, you're physically washing away those pollens as well. So you're giving them that physical right. relief as well. And just the water therapy alone can be really beneficial for their skin.
I have so many of my clients now, it's like, it's part of their everyday routine. They go out for their walk, they do their thing. It's like time to do your toes and your feet. And I'm sure you hear this a lot. Like, it just becomes part of their normal routine. And I think it's great that we train our clients, especially with those atopic dogs, to really, you know, get into that, you know, contact time and topicals. And in fact, to your point, many of the clients out there now I'm finding are not using systemic therapy. They're just using topical therapy to get away with a majority of those things. So, and I'm curious to hear, like, what is your favorite topical therapy and why?
Yeah. So the one that I probably use most commonly is going to be, well, my favorite topical is by far going to be the Duxo Mousse. And so I love that one because you can use it as both. You can use it everywhere if you need to. So let's say you've got a diffuse pyoderma that's methicillin resistant. I mean, you might be able to put the mousse everywhere, like all over the trunk twice a day, every day. Yes, it's going to take a lot longer, but that can still be really effective. And I don't have to worry as much about the physicality of needing to get your pet in the tub. And so if it is like a 200-pound Newfoundland, I definitely have those patients. Mousse, I feel like it's just going to be a lot more practical to use as a spot treatment than asking an owner to bathe multiple times a week, because sometimes it's going to be asking a lot. So the mousse by far is my favorite product. And because I see so many secondary skin infections, the Duxo S3 Pio Mousse is by far going to be the product I use the most often.
And that's the one that has the ofitrium in there, right?
It does. So it has chlorhexidine, which is going to be antibacterial and antifungal. And then the S3 products do have ofitrium. So that's going to have anti-inflammatory properties. It's also going to help protect those, you know, those three parts of the skin barrier as well. So it's going to be really, really helpful for those pets that have allergies.
And with the skin barrier, to the listeners, I mean, we know it's the largest organ of the body. So we're referring to the physical skin barrier, the immunological skin barrier, the microbiological skin barrier, the microbiota, right? Are you proud of me that I remember those?
I am. I'm so impressed, Dr. Kristen. Well done.
Thank you so much.
You don't need me. Are you in a derm residency?
What happened? Where did that come from? The reason why I share, because I will say a lot of my clients use that a lot, that shampoo. And we talk about that because, you know, when you're trying to decipher what's out there on the market and what works great, that to me as a general practitioner, I feel like that's a really good key differentiator to explain the why behind that. And when I say it to pet parents that, you know, the largest organ in the body is the skin, we need to protect it, they're like, oh, okay, I get that. So are clients satisfied with the results that they're seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. And usually what I say to my clients as well is it's to our advantage, the skin's on the outside. So we can treat it topically, right, and hit that bacteria and yeast. And a lot of times, again, localized areas. So when we're talking about lip folds, paws, belly, they can just be using the mousse or wipes or any sort of medicated things. And they're like, hey, that cleared that up like within a week. Other things we have to keep in mind is like the smell of products, I feel like that's a big deal. And not just for me, I mean, because I don't want to be giving my dog a bath or something that doesn't smell great, but also for our pets as well. We don't want to have like an overwhelming smell. And those Duxo S3 products, they have just like a really clean, nice smell. that shampoo lathers up really nicely, that mousse is not very sticky, all going to be great things. It's just going to help with compliance, because if we can't get them, right, it's a team. If you can't get your client to do these things at home, then they're never going to get better.
Right. No, absolutely. But when I think of the having dachshunds and having wire hair dachshunds, I like, and I'm curious to get your opinion on the Duxo S3 Calm, because I just feel like their hair coat's a little bit on the wiry side, and it helps provide a little nice moisture to it. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, great shampoo for that. And so the S3 Calm line, so both that comes in a shampoo and a mousse as well. It's got that highest concentration of the Ophidrium. So it's at 0.75%. And so by far, it's the one that's got the highest in there. So again, going to be great to help just moisturize that skin, be anti-inflammatory, and help that dog skin. Yeah, so I like that one when I'm thinking about kind of moisturizing, anti-inflammatory. Also, yeah. Ferritopic Dog's a great maintenance shampoo too.
Yeah. And then on the reverse side, you have those severe seborrheic ones. So what shampoo would you recommend for ones that have like that keratoseborrheic condition?
Yeah. And so those are the ones you can just, maybe through this podcast, you guys can just smell the greasiness on your hands of those dogs. You touch them and you're like, oh boy, yeah, super greasy. And think about it. That greasiness is going to affect that patient-client bond as well. The Duxo S3, so they have a seb line, so the green line. And actually, I do find that the colors, I feel like I always mention the colors because it's really helpful for clients. So the green line is their seb line. Great for those seborrheic animals, right? Going to help with those really greasy patients. It's just going to help kind of kill that oil, but not dry them out. And so I feel like that's really important, is for most of my patients, I don't think you can overbathe them. I think that is kind of an old wives' tale or a myth for a non-allergic or a normal skin dog. So a lot of times they'll be like, well, I didn't know if I was supposed to bathe them too much or too little. And especially with these greasy dogs, I feel like you're not going to dry them out. You're going to find this nice balance of them being non-greasy, clean, and smelling good.
Yeah, definitely smelling good after that greasy smell. Oof. And talk to me a little bit. This might be a stupid question, but I'm just curious to get your opinion
as a dermatologist
about wipes versus, you know, the shampoos or whatnot. What are your thoughts? Because, you know, again, I know it varies from client to client, but what are your indications for when you have those medicated wipes versus some of the shampoos?
So I think it's going to depend a lot on where the lesions are in your patient. So for me, I really like the wipes when we're thinking about like intertriginous areas and when we're thinking about those dogs that have pododermatitis. So anything that you can put on the paws, right? So just imagine those English bulldogs where, right, you're doing your exam, you're looking in between the toes, and not only is it red, but they also have that like white, for lack of a better word, like cheesy debris in there. Yeah. I feel like the best thing is, because you want to physically remove that debris that's on there, and the wipe's going to be the best way to do that, right? Physically taking that wipe and then wiping and removing it, but also getting the benefit of those active ingredients. And then any sort of like the facial folds, again, right? This is where bulldogs come with everything.
Right.
Obviously you want to avoid the eyes, but the facial folds or the lip folds, right? The tail folds, right? Sometimes if they have perivulvar lesions or things like that, I really like the wipes for those kind of focal folds lesions. Because if you've got dogs that have lesions diffusely, to me, a wipe's not going to make sense. You're going to need to use a ton of wipes, even if it was a really small chihuahua. And that's where I'm going to reach for things that I feel like logistically are going to make more sense. That's where the shampoo is going to come in.
Yeah.
Right. So if you have, right, diffuse lesions, shampoo is great. You're going to have them, right, lather from the neck down. The one thing that I always tell my clients to worry about is, or to keep an eye out for, is if you've got those short coated breeds, just to make sure that when you're bathing them, not to kind of scrub aggressively against the hairs, because sometimes they can get that post-bathing folliculitis. So they just want to go gently in the direction of the hairs. Again, that contact time of 5 to 10 minutes. And I feel like the mousse you can almost use like a shampoo or a wipe. It's got similar ingredients. You can use that for both localized, but you can also use it for diffuse lesions as well.
And with medicated shampoos, I've chatted with a couple of practitioners around the country, and they're like, I just throw them on both like antifungal and, you know, antibacterial shampoo. But I always like come from the mindset is, you know, you kind of want to match the bug to the drug. So like if you're doing your cytology, you know, you got yeast, let's treat for what we have with yeast, and then same for bacteria or mix. What are your thoughts on that, using the shampoos for those kinds of conditions?
Yeah, so I like that you touched on cytology, because that's going to be the most important thing, right? Because even though it might look like pyoderma, you want to make sure that you're confirming that. And again, maybe if it's, you know, you're seeing more bacteria versus yeast, the nice thing about the Duxo S3 products, especially the Pio line, is let's say for some reason you can't do cytology, even though you like to drill in, we always like our practitioners to do that. Let's say for some reason that you can't, the nice thing is that that chlorhexidine 3%, that's going to be both antibacterial and antifungal. And right, cytology is going to be important because you can't diagnose by odor. And we always say the common phrase is it smells like yeast. And then I always like, well, bacteria smells too. So you want to make sure you know kind of what you're treating. And I'll be honest, actual like severe yeast dermatitis, like actually on the skin, I don't see very frequently. Like most of the time I'm doing cytology, it's only bacteria. But you can always kind of feel better because you know that chlorhexidine, right, in the pyo line, the orange line, at that 3% is going to cover both. So for some reason you're missing it, still going to be effective for both of those things.
Now, I was just going to say, I think it's so crucial that you're mentioning 3%. Can you just touch on that really quick too, on why that's so crucial? Because it varies with some of the other shampoos out there that won't cover fungal at 3%.
Yeah, exactly. So we usually at least want that chlorhexidine at the 2-4%. If you can get it at the 3-4%. So that's why looking at your products and the ingredients matters, but also you have to look at the concentration. Because obviously if you found a product that you're able to just get anywhere, non-prescription, you weren't getting it from your vet, you're like, great, it has chlorhexidine. But if it has 1% in there, then it's really not going to be effective or do anything. But if you're getting that chlorhexidine at least the 3-4%, then again, you know you're covering your bacteria, which is going to be Staph, pseudintermedius most commonly, and then that malassezia as well, so that you can cover everything. And for those yeast, I would much rather treat with topical therapy than have to give my patients any sort of oral anti-yeast medication. They're just really hard on the GI tract, they're hard on the liver and the kidneys. So honestly, I can treat most of my yeast topically. I rarely have to reach for oral antifungal treatment, and they do really well.
Okay, excellent. It's so good to hear. Well, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your insight with us, and to the listeners, hope you learned quite a bit from this. This is wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Dr. Amy Schnedeker, everyone. Thank you so much for all the great work that you're doing. And thank you to our friends at Siva for sponsoring this podcast. Hey, before you leave us, don't forget to rate this podcast. Helps us out significantly. And don't forget to take your exam for CE credit. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.